I'm just going to share quickly a few things around, again, spiritual disciplines. I'm going to recap a little bit and then just add a few things. It's just all the stuff that's from the offering. It's, every time it's amazing how everything just ties together in the songs and Jesus and what the Lord is doing in our lives. And that change that Theo talked about where we must trust God for to change something inside of us. That's something that we can't do. Sometimes when we think about spiritual disciplines, it's this list of stuff. A lot of things that we want to do. But it's just preparing the ground for God to come and to do something and to do that work what only He can do. And last week I mentioned that a path of disciplined grace, where Richard Foster in his book Celebration of Discipline, he wrote, there's this path, there's these spiritual disciplines, these things that we can do. Those are the disciplines. But then there's grace. Then there's a thing where God comes and He does what only He can do. And it was reminded that picture of the farmer. We all probably know a farmer somewhere. He can do a lot of things. He can cultivate the ground. He can make sure everything is perfect. He can sow the seeds. And he will be disciplined in that. He will do all those things. He realized that that is necessary to do that. But then there's a part where God comes and He brings the rain and He brings the growth and everything. And that's a part where the farmer does almost his disciplines and God comes and He adds all the rest. And that's the picture I want to hold before us, that we will see it that way. Where it's not, we're going to do a lot of things. We're going to do a lot of stuff to change something inside of us. Now we are preparing, we're creating space for God to come. Like worship, worship is a spiritual discipline. Us coming together, these are all spiritual disciplines. There's a slide with the inward, just a few of the disciplines that I listed from Richard Foster from his book, Inward, Outward, Corporate. There's others as well. I just put it on here that you guys can get an idea of what we talk about. Meditation, prayer, fasting, study, outward, simplicity, solitude, submission, service, and then corporate disciplines, confession, worship, guidance, celebration. All of these things are preparing the ground for God to come and to do something that only God can do. And this is the amazing thing, where last week we mentioned that what's in our heart, that's going to come out. We talk about that pressure moments. I think we all understand a pressure moment. I said the traffic, somebody in front of you, and oops, something pops out. That you thought, you don't speak like that anymore. And that just revealed something of our hearts. Sometimes it's just a situation where there's an argument, and suddenly you feel like, wow, I must defend myself here, and you're on the back foot, and I think, and when you think about it later, you think, what was that? What happened there? Sometimes those are the things that come out that reveals what's in our hearts. And God is really interested in changing our hearts, changing us from the inside out, changing us that we can have that fruit of the Spirit of Galatians 5, that with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Some of these things seems very far away. It seems like this is difficult to get there. It's difficult to do this, to get it right. And we are often quick to make lists. Quick to say, this is what I'm going to do. This is how I'm going to do it. And instead of making lists, I want us to just get back to almost just spending time in God's Word. Just taking time to be quiet with God. It's almost like you're moving away from the lists to a place where we are in God's presence. Coming like a Sunday today and in worship, this is changing our lives. Times like this in worship, that changed something in my life. I was standing there and just feel God said a few things to me, and I realized that, wow, this is actually something happened inside of me that of all my lists and all my plans, I couldn't have done it myself. That's the power of this. And that is just what I want to hold before us. Proverbs 16 verse 9 says, the heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. And that is what we need to know. We need to know those plans and those purposes of God for us. And that's going to come as we spend time with him. And 1 Timothy 4 verse 8, we mentioned it quite a lot also last week. For while bodily training is of some value, I know some guys will think this is amazing, you don't have to run that much, but godliness is of value in every way. Godliness is of value in every way. Everything that we do, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. And then just our own sin. I was just thinking again last night and last week, just reflecting on the greatest bondage is those when we are enslaved to habitual sin. When we are enslaved to things that we struggle with, that we can't break free from. And it's vicious cycles in our lives that we can't get out. And those are the things that keep us down. Those are the things that we trust God to come and to break it. And to do something about those things. And Heine Arnold, I don't know if the slide is there, in his book Freedom from Sinful Thoughts, he said, we want to make it quite clear that we cannot free and purify our own heart by exerting only our own will. So this is often what we want to do. You want to make your own plan to set yourself free. We see something in our lives and we want to make a plan to break this cycle. And we say, this is how it's going to happen. And this is my list of how this must happen. And Romans 7 verse 5, for while we were living in the flesh, our sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit for death. So these sins and these things that's happening, this produces death in us. This is just what's happening. And then in Colossians, we touch on Colossians 2 verse 20. Actually, 21, as I said, okay, let me just read the whole thing. So, you have died with Christ and I set you free from the spiritual powers of this world. So why do you keep on following the rules of the world? This is now the New Living Translation. Don't handle, don't taste, don't touch. All these rules are mere human teachings about things that deteriorate as we use them. These rules may seem wise because they require strong devotion, pious self-denial, severe bodily disciplines, but they provide no help in conquering a person's evil desires. But that's where the good news of Jesus came in. We can't do it ourselves. We make our rules and everything, and we struggle. But Jesus comes, and he just, obviously, he died on the cross, and he made a way for us to have life and life in abundance. So there's a place. Encounter 3 was this whole section on sonship and our authority, our place in Christ. And when we understand that place, where we can operate from of that place of sonship, then you don't try, you don't strive for certain things. There's authority that came from your place in the Lord. And it was so powerful again to listen to that. And we try a lot of things. Because there's always an element of joy. There's always an element that we want to have peace. We want to have joy. We say, this doesn't work. We are quick to see that the fruit of my life, the fruit of my efforts, the fruit of the sin, the fruit of these vicious cycles, it's producing death. It doesn't work. In John 15, many of us, we will know the peace. But Jesus has come, I'm the true vine, my Father is the vine dresser. And he said, already you are clean because of the word that I've spoken to you. And then abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you. So this is things that we often hear this. But I think it takes a while to settle. Because I can say, no, I will abide in God and everything. And tomorrow, things are just tough again. And then I'm back making my list and say, Lord, okay, this is what I'm going to do. But there's so quickly to get back in that, I call it a mode, problem-solving mode. We're not sure what God is saying and what's God's perspective anymore. So everything was great. Yesterday, the worship was great and God did amazing things. But wow, now I'm back in what we say, the real world. I'm back in problem-solving mode. And even people around me, people that I spoke to, man, it's so easy to see when we flip that switch to problem-solving mode. Where we just say, okay, this is what we see, this is what we're going to do, this is how it's going to work, and let's go. And they say, okay, whoa, 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 whoa. It's easy, but what is God saying? What is God's perspective on all of that? And also for our own lives. What is God's perspective? What is His promise? What is His view about you? Do you know those promises that's in the Word? Those things that you can stand on? Those promises that are true forever? And Jesus went on, He said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. And then if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. And Lee actually, she was reading it last night. I believe that is such a special place where we can come if we abide in Christ and His words abide in us. A place of authority. We say, Lord, this is what Your word is saying. This is your perspective on things. This is what's in the word about this thing. Then we know what to ask. Then we know what to pray. And then suddenly we see, wow, everything is different. The result of our prayers, there's a different response because our hearts have aligned with God's purpose. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you. And that your joy may be full. So this is why we do all our problem solving, that we can have joy, that everything can work out, that everything must just be wonderful and the next challenge must be gone. And God is saying there's a place where we can abide in Christ. It's a place where we can have His word in our hearts, where we can follow His commandments. It seems like hard work in a sense. Or maybe it's just me. But it's a place in Christ where Jesus comes and He does something that we cannot do. Where He does something, he almost a deposit of joy. A joy that we can't create. We can't do it. And that is what we're after. That is what we all long for. If we want to admit it or not, that is what we long for. And Jesus said, it's available. And even that brought me back to Richard Foster when he wrote his book, Celebration of Discipline. Remember he said the keynote, the central theme of the spiritual disciplines, it's joy. It's a joy that comes from God. It's not like we just want to do a lot of things and want to add more rules. These are spiritual disciplines where the central theme is joy. And it's not like we're going to highlight one and neglect the others. These are a lifestyle. This is something that we want to get going in our lives. And the purpose is really to set us free from the self-interest and fear. It's so quick to be driven by self-interest, to be driven by fear. There's a lot of things that I can think of right now that will give me a good reason to fear. But also a God with all His promises and God's Word. And I've had so many testimonies. Every time when we're just speaking this at home, just telling the kids of where we come from, and Lee and I, and the positions we had, and through the years, what God has done. We can be so thankful for so many miracles, so many things that we couldn't have done. So many provisions, so many doors that opened, so many things that changed in our lives. That's all God. But we want to play God. We want to be the one that provides. We want to be the one that's in charge, that's in control. We want to be the one that protects. We want to think about, so what is the next best thing for me and for us? And James 1 said, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God to give generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith, without doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that's driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He's double-minded. And I believe God wants to set us free from this double-mindedness, where we are so confused with what is the next thing? What is the will of God? What is the next step for my life? God wants to come and He wants to set us free from the double-mindedness, where we know. Want to set us free from a place where we are so exposed to the devil comes with his lies and he just put us totally off track. And we are running around like a headless chicken. There's this famous headless chicken. It's just by the way. The guy wanted to kill the chicken and then he cut the head off and the chicken remained alive. So he went through the world just showing his headless chicken to many places. So we can be like that headless chicken. Just running around. You're alive, but you're actually not alive. God wants to set us free. That we can be. At Encounter 3, you talk a lot about that agent of redemption. Where God can use us to bring life. That we can be a life giver. That we walk away from this victim mentality. Where we're just a victim of our circumstances and a victim of everything that is happening in our lives. And just the double-mindedness and being tossed around by the waves, that is a bad place. And I think when you think about our lives, certain areas where we're really struggling, where we're not getting breakthroughs, maybe that's something that we must bring to God. Maybe it's something that we can say, okay, Lord, I want to spend time with you. I want to know. I want to bring this to you. And I just want to lay down all my plans and all my checklists. And show me, where are you in all of this? Give me new perspective. Give me a new vision. And then we can hold on to that. There's a few scriptures that I just want to read for us, and they're so beautiful. In Hebrews 12, verse 1 to 2, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight. So I know when you want to, running is always a good example. The extra weight, it holds you back. So lay aside the weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. But how do we run? We look unto Jesus. It's again for me, it was so beautiful. We will read, let us lay aside every weight. Let us do all these things. And it's quickly that we get in that performance mode again. This is what I must do. This is what I must do. And then it just comes and says, looking unto Jesus. For me, that just brings perspective. Because it's quick, we're going to walk out of here and you take a scripture and you say, okay, this. But let's look unto Jesus, the founder, perfecter of our faith, who through the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Hebrews 12 verse 3 said, consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. We will often hear, don't grow weary. You must hang in there. Endure till the end. Don't grow weary. But say, consider him. Consider Jesus. Spend time. Consider Jesus. What is his perspective? Hebrews 12, verse 12 to 14. Therefore, lift your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees and make straight paths for your feet so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. Strive for peace of everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. Strive for the peace with everyone and for holiness. And those are all things that we can't really do in ourselves. We can strive for it. And I believe there's a key where the spiritual disciplines come in again. And as we're going to continue looking at specific spiritual disciplines, I want us to have this background, have this in mind, that the place to start is just to spend time with Jesus, to make time. Before we do, to look unto him, to consider him. And this is not a religious mindset. Galatians 6 verse 8, it says, for the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. What are we sowing? What are we sowing in our lives? Everything we do, that's part of a sowing and a reaping. There are laws that is in place, spiritual laws that governs this world. And I shared it yesterday with the guys at Encounter. I'll share it quickly again. It's a great story of Lee that got a traffic fine. That is not so great, but just listen till the end. She was at the stop street and just slowly drove over the stop street, and the traffic cop came and he fined her and said, man, isn't there, I can't remember if she said it to him or if he just thought everything, but there was this where, isn't there better things for you to do than to sit under this tree at the stop street where there's no cars, and she's just driving slowly over the stop street, and then she got fined, 500 rand. So, like we always do, we write a letter to the Cape Town Traffic Department, and then usually they will reduce the fee. This time they didn't respond, they didn't do anything, so eventually we paid the 500 rand and went on holiday. During holiday, Lee got convicted by God about honoring people in authority, and she realized there's a bitterness in her heart, there's an attitude that's not right. So she's going to pray about it and repent and give it to the Lord. And she did that. An amazing thing, the next day, the Cape Town Traffic Department phoned her to ask her for her banking details because they want to refund her the 500 rand. That was amazing. So they did a lot of effort. They phoned her, asked for her banking details. Then we send it through to them, and then they refunded the 500 rand in full. And yeah, for us, it was just, yeah, what we got out of there is just there's a principle of honoring. There's something that God honors. There are principles that govern the world we live in. Sometimes we don't even know about them. But it's there in God's Word, and it's still absolute truth. It's still things that stand. And that is things that we want to hold on to. Those are the things that we want to run with. Those are the things that we want to know and pray about and say, Lord, this is what your word is saying. This is what I hold on to. And that is such a beautiful example. Our God just honors those principles. And when she came and she just said, this is in my heart, this is the bitterness. This is what's in my heart. And she brought it to the Lord and repented of that. And it just changed the whole situation. It changed something that it's so easy for us to say, yes, that is now the real world. Made a big change in the real world. That's where the things changed. And it's something unheard of. And it's again that godliness. 1 Timothy 4 verse 8 speak about that godliness that holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. Holds promise for the present life. There's a godliness. There's a place where God wants us to be. And I want to encourage you that we really make effort to spend time with God. Really make effort to get to know the Scriptures. Read through it. Allow the Scripture to wash over you. Wash over you. Ask the Lord, how does everything fit into what I'm doing? How does my gifts, my strengths, how does it fit into your plan for my life? That calling and that destiny, that thoughts that you had for me before I was born, how does everything fit together? And help me, God, so I can live with purpose. Because we don't want to just live in a place where we're just surviving. There's many people that's just surviving. It's just going from day to day, just surviving. And God wants to take us out of that place of being a survivor. The world is hungry for changed people. This is the same quote I put up last week at Leo Tolstoy. He said, "Everybody thinks of changing humanity, but nobody thinks of changing himself." The news is full of people trying to change a lot of stuff. But it's not often that we have someone that actually says, "I want to change myself. Or I want to do something," or just come to the Lord and say, "Allow God to change me." The world is hungry for changed people. And John 9, let's quickly want to, John 9 verse 1 to 7, there's this blind man sitting next to the road. And Jesus is just walking. And as he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" So immediately they saw the blind man and they start thinking, okay, so who sinned? What happened here? All the outward stuff. All the stuff that when you look at situations, we judge, we just bring our own brokenness almost in there. And Jesus said it was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent him while it is day. So Jesus continued, and having said these things, he spit on the ground and made mud with the saliva. He anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, "Go wash in the pool." And the amazing thing for me is, you can read on, the Pharisees are now getting involved. And now the disciples, everyone is involved. In the meantime, Jesus is taking mud and is putting on this guy's eyes. In the midst of all the people doing all this stuff, Jesus is aware of, he wants to bring healing to this blind man. He said, "This is what needs to happen here. This is what God wants to do." All the rest, they just missed it. They were so involved with outward stuff. Whose fault is it? Why is this happening? And then the Pharisees got involved and everyone wants to make rules. And then they say, "No, but okay, you did it on this day." And who is this man that's doing all this stuff? And Jesus just went and he just continued and he just brought healing. He just brought healing to this man. He said to him, "Just go and wash in the pool." And it's amazing. I think he must have left and maybe Jesus moved on and this whole crowd, they're still going on doing their thing. And then the man comes back and now they don't even want to believe that he's the same man. They say, "No, this can't be." They're so blinded. Now they want to call his parents and just check, "Is this really your boy?" And they say, "Ask him. Ask himself." They say, no, he said, "Yeah, but we." They got so blinded. And Jesus just, he came and he brought joy into that guy's life. Without anything else. And I realized that in life and everything, we got so distracted. We get so involved with so much stuff. And we see people around us and we just want to judge and we say a lot of stuff. And sometimes we just operate out of a place of brokenness. Out of a place where, man, this is not going well with me, so you can't do that for that guy. And there's so much stuff going on. And Jesus just want to come and say, just slow down. Let's just see what I'm seeing. I see the man that's blind. I see this in that person's life. And I want to touch that. I see this in that person's life. I want to bring healing there. And we can be that agent of healing. We can be really an agent where God just come and work through us and do something different in the real world, in the world we live in. And this is what this really excites me. Is I believe this is what God, through the spiritual disciplines, basically just coming to God and spend time with Him and slow down and say, Lord, show me. Show me that I see. And you can say, you can bring your family, you can bring work, you can bring whatever situation before God. So Lord, show me what is going on. Show me where's the blind man that you want to heal. And help me to do something about it. Instead of just operating out of the flesh. It's really what it is. Instead of operating out of the flesh. James 4 verse 1 to 4 says, what causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. But thank God that God came and He gave us the Word. And He opened our eyes that we can see. And Jesus is there and He did so much for us already. And I want to encourage us that it's a season of getting back to basics. You will hear it a lot. I just took it back to basics for at home, back to basics for church, back to coming to God, saying, Lord, okay, a new perspective. Help me to see. And I know for some of you there's really promises in the Word that you need to run with. Where it's really tough to run without those promises. It's really tough to that double-mindedness. It's a killer. But God wants to set us free from that. Let us stand. Yeah, I think maybe there's a few things. Maybe you just want to respond. You just want to say, Lord, I just want to come back to you. We've mentioned some of the spiritual disciplines, the word, study, solitude, meditate, time alone with God, then worship and celebration, what we're doing now, all different things to come back to Jesus. And if you want this morning, if you want to take a step and just come back to Jesus, you are welcome to step out of here and say, Lord, this is between you and God. You say, Lord, I'm taking a step before witnesses. God said if we honor Him before people, He will honor us before the Father. There's a power in that when we do that. It's not for me or for anyone else. It's just we acknowledge what God is busy doing. That's the one place and for other, for some people, I think we must just ask the Lord, where's the blind man? Maybe there's a blind man that we're not aware of, or a situation where we're treating it in totally the wrong, we're fighting totally the wrong battles. There's a lot of accusations and things going on, and Jesus is just busy. He just want to heal. He just want to spit on the ground and take some and put it on the blind man's eyes, or just change the situation. And where we're at and where Jesus is a different place. And we just say, Lord, I just want to come walk with you. I want to see. So as we worship, let's just worship, but also stay in prayer and let's trust God to show you what He wants to do.